Grace and peace to you all from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. We come to Palm Sunday with the excitement of celebration, and it is indeed that. We associate this day with Jesus being the King of Kings and riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey with palm branches waving, with cloaks being laid out before him, and words of praise and honor being shouted out to him. And yet, within just a few days' time, there's a complete change in this story. Those who were the closest to Jesus now deny him. Those voices who were praising Jesus and shouting, "Glory in the highest heaven," are now shouting, "Crucify him." What happened? When we look back in Scripture, just to the chapter right before this one, we see that there are religious leaders who have charged Jesus with the crime of blasphemy. Jesus was questioned and replied back that the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. In their mind, that was as if Jesus had said out loud, "Well, yes, indeed I am the Son of God. I am God. And this then is blasphemy." And the religious leaders found themselves absolutely livid with this testimony. The Gospel of John tells us that these leaders wanted Jesus dead. The Gospel of Mark tells us that it was out of jealousy that these leaders handed Jesus over to Pilate. Yet blasphemy was not the charge that they had brought before Pilate when they presented Jesus to him, as Pilate certainly would not have had much interest in that. Instead, charges were made up against this innocent man, the first being that Jesus had been perverting the nation, the second charge being that Jesus had forbid his followers to pay taxes to the emperor, the third charge being that Jesus himself was saying that he was Messiah, a king. These are all false charges. And we see in Pilate's reaction that the only one that he even had the slightest concern about had to do with Jesus being a king. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked Jesus. "You say so," is all that Jesus replied. It was as if Jesus said, "Pilate, you can see for yourself whether I'm a king or not. I'm standing here before you, a bound man. There's no army coming to my rescue. What do you think?" Pilate had nothing more to say than he couldn't find anything against Jesus. But remember, the religious leaders wanted him dead. They did not give up easily, and instead, they threw out another accusation against Jesus. He's stirring people up by teaching throughout Judea. Aha! Now with this statement, Pilate realized that Jesus belonged under the jurisdiction of Herod. And what Herod happened to be in Jerusalem at the same time, so Pilate sent him off to Herod. A surprising twist in this story is that Herod was actually kind of excited to see Jesus. He thought that maybe there would be a performance, that he would see some miraculous sign. Instead, Jesus stood silent before Herod, which clearly caused some anger on Herod's part, because he and his soldiers treated Jesus with horrible contempt and with mocking. The other Gospels fill in the soldiers' activities further for us. The soldiers humiliated Jesus by dressing him in a purple cloak and a crown of thorns. They saluted him, saying, "Hail, the King of the Jews!" They struck him, they spat on him, they knelt down in mock homage to him, and when they were finished with their fierce ridicule, they stripped him and they beat him. Then, again, Jesus was found before Pilate. Repeatedly, Pilate testified that he could find no fault in him, that indeed Jesus had done nothing, nothing that deserved death. Pilate wanted to release Jesus. "No," the people insisted. They wanted Barabbas released instead, a man who had been put in prison for insurrection. This is rising up against the power of the government. And for murder. Jesus' followers didn't fight for him. His followers did not speak up for him. Some were scared and they stayed out of sight. Some even said that they didn't know who he was. At this point, if Pilate would have had any courage at all, he would have freed Jesus, knowing perfectly well that this was an innocent man, but he didn't. What kind of leader is this that's so easily swayed by the loudest voices? Like a schoolyard bully, Pilate did the evil thing, the very thing that he knew was wrong, only to please an angry mob. Matthew tells us that Pilate literally washed his hands of Jesus' innocent blood, and then he turned Jesus over to be crucified. As Christ was nailed to the cross, suffering and dying, he continued to be mocked by those who were passing him by. He continued to be mocked by the soldiers. He was offered sour wine to drink. His clothes were taken from him, and the dice were thrown to see who would get his tunic. Even one of the criminals next to him found it necessary to continue to pester and pester at Jesus. And all the while, a group of women who had followed him were there. One of the beloved disciples was there. Mary, Jesus' mother, was there. Mary saw her son's suffering. She saw her son's humiliation. And as a mother, I can scarcely stand to think of my kids being hurt in any way. I can't fathom the agony that she endured that day, a day that had been prophesied to her so long ago at the time of Jesus' birth, that the sword of Simeon that he had spoken of must surely have pierced her soul that day. And for Christ, I wonder if it added to his agony to see these people that he loved there watching him be in agony, or if it brought him any sort of comfort. And yet, in the mess of all of this, right here, in the midst of the anguish and the suffering and the death, Jesus spoke forgiveness. One criminal testified to his faith in Jesus simply by asking Jesus to remember him when Jesus came into his kingdom. Simple words spoken, but words that showed the heart of this thief. He was not looking upon Christ in his humanness, in his weakness, in his humiliation, but he saw instead the king that Christ is. This thief did nothing more than to believe that Jesus was who he said he was, and to confess that Christ is king with a kingdom, and ask to be remembered by him. Jesus' prayer from the cross is for this thief, it's for you, and it's for me too. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Christ died for the ungodly, proving his love for you and for me, and then he died while we are all still sinners. I am the one, and you are the ones, who by our own sin deserve that God would be our enemy, that we would be mocked, that we would be humiliated, that we would face our own death. But it is Christ who takes all of our sin, heaped on himself like filthy rags, and gives us instead his righteousness and his promise for eternal life. It is you and I who are merely dust and ashes, as we said at the beginning of this Lenten season, and it is Jesus who is God. You and I are the ones who killed Christ. It is our sin that did it, and yet in this very mysterious way of God, it is indeed a mighty and a fierce love that allows Jesus to so humble himself. God is for you. He did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for you. There is truly nothing that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And this, you dear people of God, is the wonder and the beauty of the cross. Amen.